large dog stretched on a mat outside the dining room door disturbed the mysterious morning stillness of hall and staircase. Who were the sleepers hidden in the upper regions? Let the house reveal its own secrets, and one by one, as they descend the stairs from their beds, let the sleepers disclose themselves. As the clock pointed to 6:45, the dog woke and shook himself. After waiting in vain for the footman, who was accustomed to let him out, the animal wandered restlessly from one closed door to another on the ground floor, and, returning to his mat in great perplexity, appealed to the sleeping family with a long and melancholy howl. Before the last notes of the dog's remonstrance had died away, the oaken stairs in the higher regions of the house creaked under slowly descending footsteps. In a minute more, the first of the female servants made her appearance, with a dingy woolen shawl over her shoulders, for the March morning was bleak, and rheumatism and the cook were old acquaintances. Receiving the dog's first cordial advances with the worst possible grace, the cook slowly opened the hall door and let the animal out. It was a wild morning. Over a spacious lawn and behind a black plantation of firs, the rising sun rent its way upward through piles of ragged grey cloud. Heavy drops of rain fell few and far between. The March wind shuddered round the corners of the house, and the wet trees swayed wearily. 7 o'clock struck, and the signs of domestic life began to show themselves in more rapid succession. The housemaid came down, tall and slim, with the state of the spring temperature written redly on her nose. The lady's maid followed, young, smart, plump, and sleepy. The kitchen maid came next, afflicted with the face ache and making no secret of her sufferings. Last of all, the footman appeared, yawning disconsolately. The living picture of a man who felt that he had been defrauded of his fair night's rest. The conversation of the servants, when they assembled before the slowly lighting kitchen fire, referred to a recent family event, and turned at starting on this question. Had Thomas the footman seen anything of the concert at Clifton, at which his master and the two young ladies had been present on the previous night? Yes, Thomas had heard the concert. He had been paid for to go in at the back. It was a loud concert. It was a hot concert. It was described at the top of the bills as grand. Whether it was worth travelling 16 miles to here by railway, with the additional hardship of going back 19 miles by road at 1:30 in the morning, was a question which he would leave his master and the young ladies to decide. His own opinion in the meantime being unhesitatingly, no. Further inquiries on the part of all the female servants in succession elicited no additional information of any sort. Thomas could hum none of the songs, and could describe none of the ladies' dresses. His audience, accordingly, gave him up in despair, and the kitchen small talk flowed back into its ordinary channels until the clock struck 8 and startled the assembled servants into separating for their morning's work. 8:15, and nothing happened. 8:30, and more signs of life appeared from the bedroom regions. The next member of the family who came downstairs was Mr. Andrew Vanston, the master of the house. Tall, stout, and upright, with bright blue eyes and healthy, florid complexion, his brown plush shooting jacket carelessly buttoned awry, his vixenish little Scotch terrier barking unrebuked at his heels, one hand thrust into his waistcoat pocket and the other smacking the banisters cheerfully as he came downstairs humming a tune. Mr. Vanston showed his character on the surface of him freely to all men. An easy, hearty, handsome, good-humoured gentleman who walked on the sunny side of the way of life, and who asked nothing better than to meet all his fellow passengers in this world on the sunny side too. Estimating him by years, he had turned 50. Judging him by lightness of heart, strength of constitution, and capacity for enjoyment, he was no older than most men who have only turned 30. "Thomas!" cried Mr. Vanston, taking up his old felt hat and his thick walking stick from the hall table. "Breakfast this morning at 10. The young ladies are not likely to be down earlier after the concert last night. By the by, how did you like the concert yourself, eh? You thought it was grand?"